Hello from Board Developer, it's Business Ahas, a show about the eureka moment that launched you into the next level of success. I'm here with your host, Jim Hayden, and I'd like to welcome our absolutely amazing guest this month, Greg Head. Greg Head is one of the biggest champions of Arizona's tech scene and has spent decades in the startup world. Greg is a 30-year software industry veteran who was part of the startup-to-scale journeys of three different software companies in the CRM industry, including one IPO. Greg is also the founder of GregsList.com, the up-to-date list of social software companies' jobs used by thousands of founders, tech leaders, investors, and job seekers each month. He runs his own consulting company, Scaling Point, where he works with startup tech founders on marketing strategy, messaging, and scalable marketing execution. We simply must know his business aha. Take it away, Jim.
Oh my gosh, Danny, thank you so much for a great introduction and great, gosh, man, great to see you. It's been a long time. And look, we have another face here, and that's Park Howell. Park, oh my gosh, thanks for being here as well. Welcome to our business ahas. We're excited to have you, Greg, today for a couple of reasons. Number one, this is the very first time we've done a business aha that allowed us to be co-hosted. So when I was chatting with Park about the opportunity to have you on, and we talked about the idea of co-hosting, and we are really excited because I think everybody knows who watched our business ahas in the past. I, for one, don't know what your business aha is, and Park, for number two, don't know what your business ahas are. Aha for today is as well. And with that also, I want to both introduce Danny and Carrie, our co-producers of Business Ahas. Excited to have both of them with us today. And we're excited to hear from you, Greg. And as you well know, it's have a good time, have a good conversation, very open. Obviously being virtual makes things a little bit different these days, but very much looking forward to hearing what this might be from your mind because of what you've been involved in your history. And man, I'm very humbled and honored that you're with us today. So with that, Greg, the floor is yours.
Well, thanks, Jim. It's good to see you. It's been a while since we met. And Park, we just saw each other just a few months ago here. So it's good to see your face, old friend, here.
Well, I'm particularly interested in this because you and I talk all the time, and I have no idea what your business aha is.
Well, I bet you could guess, you know, I bet you could guess what my aha was. So here's the best way to say it here. As Park knows, I've been in the software business for over 30 years, helped three little companies grow from small to big, two of them in Phoenix, one of them in Dallas, then Silicon Valley and all of that. So I've been, I'm an experienced software marketer, product creator and entrepreneur. And these days I work with entrepreneurs and software founders all over the world to help them grow up their businesses. And one of the first lessons I learned in my career when I got started in the software business, I'm from Chicago, Park knows that. And I came back from college at the University of Iowa looking for a real job. And a friend of mine said, hey, work with me at this retail software store. So that dates me to the early days of software. And Jim, the retail store was called Egghead Software. I don't know if you remember Egghead Software. They were in all the major metros and they sold half the software in the country.
No, are you familiar with them, Park?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
I remember walking in and just going, wow, it was mind-blowing.
Look at all this stuff.
All these new titles out
there.
Yeah. So it was very early days of software. Literally, my luck was the moment the PC software business started. I started with a suit and tie and a name tag. And Jim, my name tag, I'll give you the punchline here, was Greg Head. And I worked at Egghead Software. So I was Greg Head from Egghead. And just like Park said, it was a wall of 1,500 software titles in the early days of software when software came in a box, as it did in the 80s and 90s. So this was the late 80s. And so I was selling software and managing stores and so forth. So people would walk in every day and say, I need something to do this, a game or a word processor or, you know, all that stuff that we remember from the old days. And I stood in front of a wall of 1,500 software titles. And I started out by trying to be smart and say, I know, you know, there's 20 things that could do that. And I could read the back of the boxes as I handed two of them upside down and look at all the features. And so I could recite the features and talk about dozens of products, you know, and I learned quickly, meaning a few months into it, that every day these people that walk in, business people and families and the rest that wanted to pay good money for software, they didn't want to have more conversation about everything, more titles to consider, more software products to consider, more features to hear about. They wanted to hear a simple answer, meaning ask them two questions and say, you know, there's 1500 titles here and there's 20 products that would do what you want. But if you want this, this, and this, really the answer is this software. So it was a very common problem in sales that we recite all the features and we talk and so forth. But, and you know, also in marketing, there's a lot of conversation that could be had, but I learned pretty quickly that people didn't want more features, more conversation, more product. They wanted a more focused answer. And so I started to learn that. It was a small epiphany there, but I quickly sold a ton of software and learned a lot and joined one of the software companies that I was, one of the products that was on the shelf. I joined that little company. So I went from a wall of software to one software product. And you'd think we wouldn't have that problem because one product, you know, how much could you talk about it? And very quickly, we had the same problem. On every brochure, on every box that we were making and so forth, we had more to say than we could fit on the box. And the answer was always less is more, and making the real decisions about what to focus on and what not to focus on is a fundamental lesson in sales, but especially in marketing. Marketing, we get a little less airtime to get a message out as we're driving by in the billboard, or we hear a quick story, word of mouth, or it's PR. And now I'm working with entrepreneurs who are making digital products. So they could literally make anything. All the software entrepreneurs I know, I say, can you make a music software? Can you make a software for plumbers? Can you make and they all say, yes, I can make anything. And it's kind of challenging. It's not like a physical product or a restaurant that it kind of declares itself when it starts. Software product, digital entrepreneurs can make anything. And it's very challenging to get them to focus in on what they really are to the exclusion of all the other things they could be. So entrepreneurs tend to say, well, I could do that. And a lot of salespeople say that too. But it's a lesson that has been hard earned, hard fought. And it's been fundamental to the growth of everything I've been involved with and all the companies I'm helping these days. And so it's not, I call it the myth of more. It's not more features, more words, more topics, more channels. The answer is to figure out what are the few things you could say that'll be 10 times better than that, and not focus on saying or doing all of those things. What you don't do is more important than what you do do. So through that focus is how companies grow, and only always.
So the myth of more or less is more, and you said earlier when people were in the shop, looking for the software, and you said, you know, here are the nine choices. At the end of the day, they only wanted one choice.
Yeah.
So is it fair to say that people don't want choices? Is what you're saying, or is that what, or they don't want to be bombarded with choices?
Well, there's the Park. What is the correct term here? About choices, there's the burden of choice. If given too many choices, they're not going to make a decision.
Right.
And so sometimes it's a choice between this or that. The old, would you like the red one or the blue one clothes for auto car salesmen, something like that. But too many choices makes our human brains get confused and not take action. And too many words, the best way to hide bad news is to send it into an email with 1,000 words. They won't read it, right? So focus is the answer to getting attention, getting heard, and getting action, which is fundamentally the marketing and sales problem in growing software companies and any kind of company.
And that choice thing is one step away from really the solution, isn't it? And that's what people want, is they want a trusted advisor, and they are going to go to someone that does specifically what they need, not kind of what they need. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's another turn on it, right? So working with every entrepreneur that says, we could do all these things. And I say, you're not going to be able to say all that. And we're going to have to move all of that out. What is the, you know, what is the small part of everything you could be, could say that we're actually going to say? And so that would be the paradox of choice. The more choices you have, the less action is taken and the more confusion is there. And so the corollary part, as you describe, is when we're looking, we have a problem, we're looking for a solution. Our bias as humans, in a way our brains work, is when we have a specific problem, we don't look for a generalist that does a little bit of that. And in fact, the Google search algorithm, we type something in that we're looking for and the Google search algorithm mimics our brains in that the most focused solutions, the most specialist solutions, the most credible solutions come up first. So generalists tend, a little bit of everything doesn't show up in Google search, and it doesn't show up when Park says, hey, I'm looking for somebody to do just for this, for my business. I don't send them to somebody that says, well, this person works for big companies and he does all kinds of things, including that. I think that would be a good choice. Park wants to find somebody who works with exactly his kind of company that it does exactly what they do. And the trick there is you're literally defined by what you say no to. And a comparison there is like Chick-fil-A, the chicken sandwich shop that's so popular, they have long lines everywhere, is not, they're known by what they don't do. They don't do hamburgers, which is 40% of all fast food in the US. They just do chicken sandwiches. And their story is, heck no, we don't do chicken sandwich. Their mascot is a cow that says, eat more chicken. So specialists who say we don't do everything generally get the line. And it's more credible to us. We're always going to choose somebody who's the best solution for us, who only works on the kind of thing we need for people just like us.
That's absolutely mind-blowing. And it's not necessarily cavalier, but it's mind-blowing, right?
Well, it's hidden in plain sight. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
But we don't see what's behind it. Like no. Steve Jobs and Apple, you know, when he took over Apple again in the 90s, and they got back to making one computer, and then it was the iPod, and then the iPhone and the iPad, and et cetera, et cetera. You know, Apple could make anything in the world better than just about every company, probably including Apple's, including Park's Washington, famous Washington apples up there. But they don't. They make, you know, a few dozen things, right? A computer, a yeah. laptop series, an iPhone, an iPad. And they're the most valuable company in the world. And they're defined by what they don't do. We don't see that every day. We don't see the decisions where they say, you know, we could make anything, but, you know, let's not. We just line up for it. And whenever you see a line, you're going to see a specialist that serves at the end of that line.
So at Egghead, Greg, mm-hmm. Head, when you were there, your aha moment was happening when people were coming in. They were asking for a product. You knew in the beginning that five or six products might solve what they're looking for. You would share all of them. But over the course of time, if you narrowed it down to one because you knew that one was the best, do you believe that it was because you told them this was the best and you are the expert? Or do you believe it's truly having the one or the two choices to pick from?
Well, and it's also the amount of things you could say about each one that people don't, you know, they came in with a problem and said, I have this problem. What have you got that could solve it? And I want to track my contacts, right? And I could say there's a dozen ways to do that and so forth. But they don't want to know the dozen ways they can do that. And they don't want to memorize all the features. And they don't want to demo for 4 hours. They want somebody to say, well, there's a whole bunch of things, but really it's either this or this. And this one has a few things that are like this. And this one has a few things like that. And it's like within 30 seconds, you could present a simple choice to them, as opposed to the 45-minute wandering, long list, which would stun them and make them walk out without a decision. So,
yeah, you know, proving for them right on how smart you are when you're there to test your smarts. They're there to get advice from you instead of you vomiting for 45 minutes.
Yeah. And I think the same thing works whether the person is there advising and, you know, doing the consultative sale or not, right? Walking by in a grocery store, if you say, you know, look at a product and it says, we do 10 things, right? Including one of the things in the fine print that you're looking for. And the one right next to it says, we just do this. Just is kind of a magic word in marketing. We just do this. We're known as the best.
That's fascinating
these days. And so, Jim, to your point, the smartest entrepreneurs have the hardest time with it.
The smartest entrepreneurs have the hardest time with it because they can't shut up.
Because they know all the things it could do. They know all the possibilities. They know the things that in the future they could build that. Yeah. And so when you say, here's a 5-page document that describes all the features of your software product, roughly, and you say, well, when we talk about it to the world, we're really going to focus on the first, you know, half a page worth. That's all we're going to get in the world, right? If that. And it's, by the way, it's a simple structured statement. You don't get to say everything. And this is a lesson a lot of people learned. They don't want to, you know, it's fundamental to the marketing and messaging game. And just like I'm a student of Park's business storytelling podcast and his the training there. And Park's focus is business storytelling and messaging and marketing so you can get heard and your brand message can get out there. By the way, did I just say that right, Park? I could talk for 2 hours about Park, but see, Jim, I just said, Park just does this and he's the expert. So,
another dimension of what Greg was talking about, Greg Head of Egghead, which I think is really interesting too, Jim, is that think about it. He was kind of the Google of Egghead standing behind the counter there when someone showed up and Greg had understand what all of these different titles do, categorize them in his own brain, in his own spreadsheet. No, he's got 20 solutions to any one problem. And each one of those solutions has 9 other various solutions that may or may not solve this one problem. So to get super specific on that brand story and what is the one thing they do had to first resonate with Greg. So he knew where the position was. So when that person steps in front of Greg Head at Egghead, says what they're looking for, he doesn't have to pull 20 titles down. He can pull 2 down. And if you're any one of those titles, you, of course, want to be Greg's go-to title. So to me, that specificity and that aha moment is really wonderful because so many of these aha moments happen in our formative years, whether it's in high school or college or in the formative years in your first career. And I think that example at Egghead is a marvelous one.
And I followed that trail. You know, in the old days, software marketing, it was a box on a shelf that people would walk by in a store and nobody was around when they walked by it. So there was a physical thing. You literally had to spend months working on the words, then print the boxes and then ship them out. I mean, it's all cosmically old time, but the discipline to refine what you were saying and not say all the things you could say so people could hear you when they just pick up a box and read a few lines, right? The marketing game, it's fundamentally about focusing on a very small subset of things you could say to just get your message across. Isn't it interesting how the Google search engine, although those of us that know how to, you know, make our websites and our content, you know, shine in the Google search engine, its fundamental premise isn't the more words you have about many things, the more you're going to get known. The content has to be singularly and credibly focused on one thing for it to show up in the Google search algorithm at the top of the list. And you know,
and how irritated are you?
Pardon me?
I'm sorry, Greg. How irritated are you when you type in what you type in and it doesn't come back and what you wanted it to come back at? So you have to change some wording around to be able to get specific because you want to be specific. Yeah. I have a question for you, Greg. When you said when you learned that less was more in this great example of the egghead, and then ever since then, you've used that philosophy with every company that you've been to. My question for you is, did every one of them then eventually have an aha moment?
Well, I don't know if they'd call it an aha moment. Sometimes they go kicking and screaming into, I could say all these things, but really, I get my 5 minutes on stage, I'm going to say these things, because they're smart people who know a lot of things. And, you know, every restaurant in the world could make any type of food in about 2 days. McDonald's could change their menu to make Thai ice cream in it, and they don't. Why is that? Like, we just don't see behind the scenes, right? So either everybody's come into the shoot. So I would deal with the entrepreneurs when it's going from idea, and ideas tend to be very, very big and all the possibilities and so forth, into something that's focused. Now, Jim, how long have you been doing board developer?
15 years.
Yeah, 15 years. Now, the real question is, when you were doing before that, you were doing a little of this, a little bit of this, a little bit of this, right? And you kind of moved around before you found this one thing. I don't know if it was many things or whatever, but in the beginning, the entrepreneurship journey, the creation, product creation journey, it's hidden in plain sight, but only always. It's always more than they could be to find the focus. So when something shows up that we can actually see and hear, and it responds to our request for, I'm looking for a software that does this or a restaurant that does that. We're not seeing all the things they could have done. We're just seeing that final answer that they got to, and we're responding to it. And that's what the world looks like to all of us, wandering around the world and seeing all these marketing messages. We're not seeing all the things they could have been behind that, that they chose not to be.
That's fascinating. Hey, Danny, I have a question for you. So Greg is already aware of this, but I'm not Greg, as Park's already aware of this, but Greg, Danny also owns a little coffee shop.
Awesome.
And I'm really curious, Danny, that you own a coffee shop that makes coffee. Mm-hmm. You deliver a great product. Mm-hmm. And your customers come back because of the quality of coffee.
Precisely.
Period. Yeah.
But right. Doesn't everybody say they have quality coffee? I mean, do we really come back if it's not quality? So this is a great example. When I lived in Phoenix for 23 years, I live in Dallas these days. There was 8 coffee shops within a mile of my house, and they all had lines. So this is a great example, right? It's not just the best coffee wins, the best cola wins, the best beer wins. There are horses for courses out there. So if you have a line at your coffee shop, it's because it's not for everybody. It's a certain kind of coffee. It's probably not Starbucks for your parents' halogen lights coffee. It's probably not drive-through McDonald's, you know, because I got a van full of kids coffee. It's a certain kind of coffee for a certain kind of crowd. So, Danny, what kind of coffee? So this is just the magic trick here. Mm-hmm. If there's a crowd and they come back, it's a certain kind of coffee for a certain kind of crowd. What can you tell us about what it is exactly?
Yeah. So the coffee shop is named Higher Grounds. And the reason is because we roast our coffee fresh locally. So we have a roaster inside our lobby that it shows you that's where your coffee's coming from right there. And there's no questions. The coffee is no older than 2 weeks if you're drinking it. And that's something we offer and that we've been offering for about almost going on 9 years now.
So it's the proven freshly roasted coffee. Now, does every type of person show up there or only a certain type of person, whether it's older or younger, or is it just the coffee freaks? No, really.
Right.
Who is it?
Right. So the people who show up, we actually had to work on our marketing messaging. And at first we got people who were looking for a Starbucks or something. And so we would market to try to like produce every single drink that they wanted to. And we, for the first couple of years, we had 47 flavors or something.
Yeah, how'd that work for you?
Yeah, not very good. So,
and wait, a lot that's of the, not all.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it was, you know, you could offer every like mocha, caramel, upside down whipped cream, latte, cappuccino that you wanted, but people weren't really happy, you know, if they had every option. So your message just totally solidified what we're now doing, which is we simplified it down to basically a cup of Joe for the average Joe. So you want a good cup of coffee. If you want a good like black cup of coffee, come in and get it. But also, you know, if your wife wants a nice caramel latte, we have that also. So
did you take things off your menu and say, we're really, you know, we just have a short menu now?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So we have a base of like 10 flavors, maybe 15 if we're having a special or something. And then we have your basics, just coffee, latte. And then we have a menu that says fancy. And the fancy menu is, you know, like mocha or cappuccino. That's about it.
Yeah.
So it plays down to the Pareto principle, right, Greg?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to 80% of your business is going to come for 20% of your offering or 20% of your customers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I think the 80-20 rule is dead. I'll just say that it's because there are more choices now. So it's the 90-10 rule.
Mm.
Really? Yeah. If there's twice as many choices, then you gotta narrow it down even more.
Yeah.
There's so many possibilities in everywhere we look that we literally have to be thinking about the 10% of things we could do and the 10% of people we could sell to. And that's where successful businesses with lines are.
Wow. So Greg, that's fascinating. And made me think about this, learned this back in the probably the 80s when we, I think we were in college, at least the three of us were in college.
careful.
The adage of KISS, K-I-S-S, keep it simple, stupid. Do you think that has something to do with this as well? Of, you know, backing up on keeping it simple or just being very specific?
Well, and I think there's a lot to be said about Park's lessons of storytelling. A simple story appeals to our mind, but it is extremely structured, right? There's not a randomness to it. It's not just fewer words. It's a particular structure to the story. And marketing messaging has the same words, you know. So it isn't just less. It's a, you know, the right structure behind the Lee story. And so make no mistake, Steve Jobs was an intuitive, incredible communicator and entrepreneur, but he was extremely structured about his messaging, about product design, about all of that kind of stuff. So there is a structure to it. So simplicity gets us there, you know, gets us in the right direction, but you know, how to structure that message, that story. First is when you started your coffee shop, we said, well, the answer is keep it simple. You couldn't have heard that. You had to go have 50 flavors of coffee and figure out what the answer was. Yeah. And then you learn the lessons and you said, oh, the direction isn't more coffees. It's not 200 kinds of coffees. It's fewer coffees. You know, McDonald's sold billions of burgers. And they weren't the only burger shop, but they were the one that became well known as burgers. But now where do we go for burgers? We don't go to McDonald's. We go to In-N-Out Burger in Phoenix and Five Guys. And you go into In-N-Out Burger and Five Guys, and there's just burgers. And they have their two variations in their fancy menu, which they don't talk about, you know, that kind of thing. So the ones with the long lines have the shortest menus, which is a form of simplicity. But there's a deeper structure to the game that isn't revealed.
So I just finished reading Adam Grant's book, Think Again, and he covers a very similar philosophy of less is more. So he gives this example of when you're trying to open someone else's mind to your perspective or trying to persuade them, you know, from their stance on whatever topic. He actually argues that you should lead with one key point, maybe a second key point, but if you give five key points and the other person decides point number five is irrelevant to them, they'll actually throw out your entire argument and not even listen to you anymore. And so he has a whole chapter that talks about, okay, like if you're trying to have a conversation with someone and try to open their mind, stick with one thing. Don't give them reason, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, stick with one, maybe two. And that's the best way to have conversations with people. So I think that even fits in when you're creating arguments or, you know, evaluating someone's stance on something, stick with your best argument or your best piece of evidence or whatever that may be. Because people aren't going to, you know, stick with you when you're getting onto reason 9 or 10, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly right. And that's, it goes to the less is more game, but you could see how our brains struggle with so many facts, so many opportunities, so many choices. We want things that are simpler. And, you know, in sales can kind of have a conversation and help people make choices and find the right fit. In marketing, you got to say the same thing to everybody. So you actually have to focus your choice right up front. You don't get a billboard that interrogates somebody, says, for you today, we'll say this. And for you today, we'll say that. It's just one thing. And what is that one thing in the marketing game, the political game, right? You have to be one thing to the world. And that's you know, that's an interesting choice. So wow. Yeah, it's everywhere. The communications game is getting harder and it's not going away. So I think clarity and simplicity and the structured process, whether it's Park's storytelling structure, which is so important, or the messaging structure. If somebody walked out of the coffee shop, one of your best customers, Danny, and you said, can you describe this coffee shop to a friend? How would you describe this coffee shop to a friend? They would, in their own mind, just off the top of their head, they would tell a structured story or a structured message is a better way to say it.
It would mean something specific to them, right, Greg?
Yeah. And it would be pretty common to everybody who walks into that store. There would be a common denominator. It wouldn't there's a structure to that story. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, you're talking about that singular narrative. And Danny, you had said yours is what, the perfect cup of Joe for the average Joe? Is that?
Yeah.
So that's a singular narrative, but then you ornament that with everything from the coffee roaster in the middle of it, of the place, to how you treat them, to the experience they have. Mm-hmm. So you are ornamenting and supporting that singular narrative. And going back to your point, Carrie, that you had made earlier, that's what it's all about. If I've learned anything in the 35 plus years of storytelling and messaging, branding and marketing, it is what Greg is talking about, is finding that singular narrative and then supporting it with the other facts. But you can always come back to what that singular narrative is. In your case, Danny, it's that average or that perfect. What is it again?
A great cup of Joe for the average Joe.
That's it. Yeah.
Hey, Park, here's the $1,000 question for you. Would you have guessed this was his aha moment?
Once he started, I knew exactly where he was going. But he has such a colorful backstory, I figured it could have been anything. So it doesn't surprise me, but no, I wouldn't have guessed it right out of the chute.
When you worked at Egghead, what years was this?
Oh, that was 87 to 90. The olden days.
Pre-internet.
Oh yeah, definitely pre-internet.
Fascinating.
By the way, the problem exists still with the internet, but it's just more rampant. There's every time somebody searches on their iPhone for a coffee shop in the neighborhood, they get 20 options, not the two that somebody would recognize or something like that.
Because somebody paid for AdWords.
Or, you know, it's on the map. We could see it all. It's right there.
Yeah.
And we want to see those organic searches, not the paid for searches, right?
Right. Yes.
Now, Greg, what I thought you were going with Chick-fil-A and burger, you know, In-N-Out Burger and so forth, is one of my all-time favorite lines of yours, which is specialists eat generalists for lunch.
Yes. Yeah. And I like to use the example, right? Like, who makes the most money in medicine? It's not the generalist. It's not your general practitioner who's so helpful and all of that. It's the specialist. It's Tiger Woods' knee doctor who's actually down the street here. Okay. Show me the longest line. I'll show you the specialist.
What is your specialty?
My focus is helping ambitious, capable, smart, serious tech entrepreneurs to find their focus. The best marketing comes from a focused business.
Gosh, Greg, Park, Danny, Carrie, loved today's aha. Absolutely. Light bulb goes off. Start taking notes. And it's really neat to write down things that, you know, people don't want choices. Less is more. The myth of more. The burden of choice. These are things that I wrote down. And at the very end there about specialists eat generalists for lunch. So I cannot thank you enough, Greg, for taking the time today to share with you our business, your business aha. And Park, awesome, man. Thanks for being with us as well today. Excited about having you and excited about what the future is going to hold for people that listen to this and take heed, right? I mean, doing it is this one thing. Understanding it is kind of easy, but kind of preaching or doing it is hard, especially when you're really good at selling the 37 different models of the car or the people that are whatever they're selling. And what you're good at So again, thank you guys very, very much for having being with us today. And we're looking forward to seeing you all next time. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you all.
Bye. Thank you for tuning in to Business Ahas, brought to you by Board Developer. Please be sure to like, subscribe, follow, and share all the things we love to do. We'd really appreciate it.